This is The Lovely Lady, a short story written by D.H. Lawrence and read for you by Paul Metcalf.
The Lovely Lady. At 72, Pauline Attenborough could still sometimes be mistaken in the half-light for 30. She really was a wonderfully preserved woman of perfect chic. Of course, it helps a great deal to have the right frame. She would be an exquisite skeleton, and her skull would be an exquisite skull, like that of some Etruscan woman with feminine charm still in the swerve of the bone and the pretty naive teeth. Mrs. Attenborough's face was of the perfect oval, and slightly flat type, that wears best. There's no flesh to sag. Her nose rode serenely in its finely bridged curve. Only her big grey eyes were a tiny bit prominent on the surface of her face, and they gave her away most. The bluish lids were heavy, as if they ached sometimes with the strain of keeping the eyes beneath them arch and bright, and at the corners of the eyes were fine little wrinkles, which would slacken with haggardness, then be pulled up tense again to that bright gay look like a Leonardo woman, who really could laugh outright. Her niece Cecilia was perhaps the only person in the world who was aware of the invisible little wire which connected Pauline's eye wrinkles with Pauline's willpower. Only Cecilia consciously watched the eyes go haggard and old and tired and remain so for hours until Robert came home. Then, ping! The mysterious little wire that worked between Pauline's will and her face went taut. The weary, haggard, prominent eyes suddenly began to gleam, the eyelids arched, the queer, curved eyebrows which floated in such frail arches on Pauline's forehead began to gather a mocking significance, and you had the real lovely lady in all her charm. She really had the secret of everlasting youth, that is to say, she could don her youth again like an eagle, but she was sparing of it. She was wise enough not to try being young for too many people. Her son Robert in the evenings, and Sir Wilfred Knipe sometimes in the afternoon to tea, then occasional visitors on Sunday when Robert was home. For these she was her lovely and changeless self, that age could not wither, nor custom stale, so bright and kindly and yet subtly mocking, like Mona Lisa, who knew a thing or two. But Pauline knew more, so she needn't be smug at all. She could laugh that lovely, mocking, bacchante laugh of hers, which was, at the same time, never malicious, always good-naturedly tolerant both of virtues and vices. The former, of course, taking much more tolerating. So she suggested, roguishly. Only with her niece Cecilia she did not trouble to keep up the glamour. Cis was not very observant anyhow, and more than that, she was plain. More still, she was in love with Robert, and most of all, she was 30, and dependent on her Aunt Pauline. Oh, Cecilia, why make music for her? Cecilia, called by her aunt and her cousin Robert, just Cis, like a cat spitting, was a big, dark-complexioned, pug-faced young woman who very rarely spoke, and when she did, couldn't get it out. She was the daughter of a poor congregational minister, who had been, while he lived, brother to Ronald, Aunt Pauline's husband. Ronald and the congregational minister were both well dead, and Aunt Pauline had had charge of Cis for the last 5 years. They lived altogether in a quite exquisite, though rather small, Queen Anne house, some 25 miles out of town, secluded in a little dale and surrounded by small but very quaint and pleasant grounds. It was an ideal place, and an ideal life for Aunt Pauline at the age of 72. When the kingfishers flashed up the little stream in the garden going under the alders, something still flashed in her heart. She was that kind of woman. Robert, who was 2 years older than Cis, went every day to town to his chambers in one of the inns. He was a barrister, and, to his secret but very deep mortification, he earned about £100 a year. He simply couldn't get above that figure, though it was rather easy to get below it. Of course it didn't matter. Pauline had money. But then what was Pauline's. And though she could give almost lavishly, still one was always aware of having a lovely and undeserved present made to one. Presents are so much nicer when they are undeserved, Aunt Pauline would say. Robert, too, was plain and almost speechless. He was medium-sized, rather broad and stout, though not fat. Only his creamy, clean-shaven face was rather fat and sometimes suggestive of an Italian priest in its silence and its secrecy. But he had grey eyes like his...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?